Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very, very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast brought to you by Radio X Productions and the smooth knobs and dial workings of producer Vin. I'm
glad you carried on with that sentence.
I very nearly stumbled there as the thought entered my head, but it's now left, which is a relief. Producer Vin, busy week this week, isn't it?
Great week.
You are a massive fan of the Blurs.
I love the Blurs, yeah.
Damon Albarn came in and he left us with a massive smile on our faces, didn't he?
He was in a cheeky mood.
He was in a cheeky... What a funny bloke. He just came in kind of like a bloke at a party, like a family party, but yeah. He's like the cool uncle who came in and just entertained the naughty
Look
teenagers.
Out, yeah, Damon's had a few.
Look out, Damon's on form. What a brilliant crack that
oi,
was.
Oi,
oi! Oi, Damon! The whole thing is on this Evening Show podcast. And Damon is of a similar generation to another brilliant musician who's equally innovative and full of class.
Well, if Damon was for me, this was maybe for you, this interview.
Oh yeah, Johnny Marr. Yeah. I love him. He is one of my heroes. And every time he comes on, he's just brilliant at being a rock star, much in the same way as Damon is too. Johnny Marr is on the show as well, talking about all sorts of things, including his worst gig, which is a great story.
Really, really good. We also had the Kooks on, didn't we?
Yeah, the Kooks popped in.
Luke and Hugh.
Quite a lot of remarks about what they were wearing as well. It made me feel like I was in a period drama, but I hadn't been sent the proper dress code for it.
They were a good laugh, though, weren't they?
You know, Luke Pritchard, really, he was very entertaining.
Good
they
stories.
Were a lovely foil. Hugh's a good lad as well.
Yes.
He said to me, I can't believe you didn't realise I was Scottish. And I said, well, excuse me, I didn't really spot it in your accent, Hugh. But anyway, they were fun as well. So Kooks, Johnny Marr, Damon Albarn, and if that's not enough for you, the classic album this week was a lovely blast from the past. Nirvana, Unplugged with MTV in New York, 1994. What an album that was. So all of that being discussed on the Evening Show podcast. Enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I can tell you that the one and only Johnny Marr is on the phone right now. Hello, Johnny.
Hi, Gordon. Nice to hear from you.
What I've been doing, Johnny, is I've been practicing my voiceover skills after listening to your audiobook, which you know already I'm a massive fan of.
Well, you know, some of us have just got it naturally, mate. What can I say?
I was going to ask you, Johnny, did you get offered any more work as a voiceover artist after doing that book?
Not at all. You're kidding me. It was the most bizarre thing, though, when I had to listen to it to test it out, because hearing yourself telling your own brain your own life story was pretty odd sensation.
I bet it is. I've got to ask as well, Johnny, without sounding too creepy, what are you wearing today?
Whatever it is, it's 10 out of 10. I'm wearing a black woman's blouse with white polka dots and black Levi cords and black suede yogi desert shoes.
And only the way Johnny Marr can. Fantastic stuff. Now, Johnny, the last time we spoke to you, I think there's one question you always hate being asked, but you're going to be sitting on a sofa with John Kennedy, so I want to know, what's the one question you would love to be asked that you've never been asked?
Right. How about, what's your new album about?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's I read a little bit about this. It's kind of looking towards the future, I believe. Is that imagining society, if it was just a little bit better than it should be?
Yeah, it's a new society in my imagination, but a reason I bring it up is genuinely, I don't think most people have it on their top of their agenda to ask me what my new stuff's about.
Yeah,
I'm not bitching about it. It's okay. I'm glad that people like the old stuff, but it'd be quite a change if somebody made their first question about my new stuff.
Too right. Well, listen, one thing I want to ask you about, I love that track, The Tracers, because I always think you could have called your band Johnny Marr and The Tracers. It has a real ring to it. Was that something that was on your mind?
It is now.
It's fantastic.
Those guys are gone.
Sounds great, doesn't it? Johnny Marr and The Tracers.
It's a good... Hey, don't let anyone listen to this. They'll steal it.
And now, listen, Johnny, you're off to America as well, and I think this what's been happening in America has played a huge part in what you've written on this new album. And I know you lived there for years as well, in Portland and Oregon. What's it going to be like, do you think, going back there to work this time round with everything that's happened in the last few years?
No, I think that's a decent question, because a bit of the album was inspired by a trip that I made there when I put the book out, and there's no doubt that the atmosphere there made an impression on me, you know, with the political situation. And the place feels very different. I think we're all kind of adapting to the way the world is at the moment. And one of the things I did with my new record was I almost tried my hardest to avoid thinking about, and certainly writing about directly, those political figures because, frankly, I just didn't think they deserved to be in my songs.
I think I know what you're getting at there, Johnny. I'm going to play a new single, actually, from the album right now, Johnny. This is Hi Hello, Johnny Marr at his very best, right now on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Call the Comet is the new album from Johnny Marr, and that was the single from it. Hi, hello, absolutely brilliant. And Johnny Marr is on the phone right now. Now, Johnny, you've got loads of reasons to be happy right now, including the fact that Manchester City are the Centurions, 100 points. I mean, you just must be walking around with a massive smile on your face at the moment, are you not?
I don't like to rub it in, Gordon. You know, there might be Manchester United fans listening, especially as you broadcast across London. I like to think that I'm above rubbing it in. And I'm not really going to mention that we've got the most progressive and genius mastermind as a manager who also wears the best clothes that a manager's ever worn. I'll just leave that aside.
It's so Manchester City, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant stuff. Now, Johnny, I wonder if you could do us a little favour and offer some help to up-and-coming bands who might be struggling after a bad show. I ask a lot of the artists who come in about nights where they've had probably their worst gig. Is there one that you could share with us just to offer them a little bit of encouragement?
Yeah, there's been a few, luckily not too many, but it could have been worse. But in the Smiths days, I used to play in a lot of different tunings, so I needed a lot of different guitars. It was in 86 on the Queen's Dead Tour, and my guitar tech, my trusty mate from school, who was my guitar tech, had gone down sick. And the last minute we were playing the show at Birmingham Apollo or Birmingham Odeon or something, and so the morning of the gig I gave Bernard Sumner a call to ask if he knew of a guitar tech, and I've got to say, though, preempt this by saying teching for me back then was kind of tricky because I used to use so many different guitars and tunings and capos, and the guitars were quite unusual. So he volunteered his the old trusty New Order and Joy Division tech, who really didn't know what he was like letting himself in for. And he spent the previous few years plugging drum machines into synthesizers and synthesizers into sequences and all of that. So he came to do the gig, and the very first gig he handed me this guitar, and it was like abstract jazz. It was supposed to be playing The Queen Is Dead, and it sounded like something from a different planet, and that wasn't good. It was a bad start. Anyway, every single song he passed me the guitar to was in the wrong tuning. So in the end, the audience got used to this show. That was pretty fast. poor guy. I don't know whether he ever teched again, but the thing was, I've never smashed a guitar since. But as I walked off stage, I threw my Redless Paul into the air.
Oh, no.
Went about 25 feet into the air, and I just didn't care where it landed. It landed, came down straight onto the drum riser. And amazingly, the only thing that broke on it was one of the tuning pegs. So I've still got that guitar. And
Oh, man.
I don't think anyone ever saw the tech ever again. And,
yeah, you
I
finished
think he's living off. In Tasmania somewhere now.
Brilliant stuff, Johnny. A cracking story. Thanks for that. Now, going back to the business with Radio X on the 14th of June, our Radio X Evening A Conversation with Johnny Marr will be in support of Global's Make Some Noise. There are 50 tickets going on sale tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and you can get your hands on them by getting over to radiox.co.uk now for more information. On the same night, the eve of the release of Call the Comet, John Kennedy will have an Exposure album playback with Johnny Marr. Now, Johnny, you must have spoken to John Kennedy plenty of times over the years. A lot of ground to cover with him.
Yeah, well, John, as everyone knows, he's a real music fan. He, you know, he really knows his stuff, and he keeps his ear to the ground. I think that's a really important part of, you know, what broadcasting can be about. You know, I mean, obviously, people like John Peel was great for that, and there's a tradition of people doing that, encouraging bands, in whether it's in radio or indie labels or whatever. And I think John's part of that tradition now, really. You know, I know he has his. There's the stage up to where he does the John Kennedy Presents stage where he's putting bands on at festivals, and he always hits me up to a band or two as well, you know, because as I say, he kind of gets out and sees a lot of up and coming groups, and he's got a good knack for spotting talent, I think.
Brilliant stuff, brilliant. And can we persuade you to bring your guitar as well, Johnny?
Yeah, it might be, yes. might be a nice thing.
Yes, we've twisted his arm. All right, Johnny, listen, safe travels on your way to America. Can't wait to come and see you soon, and best of luck with the new album as well.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Gordon. Take care, man.
Nice one, Johnny. Take care.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Earlier on the show, I was talking about Biffy Clyro getting an unplugged album out, recorded at the Royal Albert Hall. And I think it's fair to say they wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been for Nirvana. This is our first unplugged album, going all the way back to November 1994, recording the 1st of November. And it is Nirvana's MTV Unplugged in New York. It's absolutely brilliant. What a great album it is. Number one in the UK and the US. It's gone platinum twice in the UK, so that's 600,000 sales. Get on this, 14 times platinum in North America. It's still massively popular on vinyl. Last year, this is an amazing little statistic, it was the 18th best-selling vinyl album in the UK. That's 23 years after it was released. So recorded in November 93, and it was the first Nirvana released posthumously after Kurt Cobain's death. The album was originally a gig recorded for MTV at Sony Music Studios in New York, and Nirvana took a bit of an unconventional approach around this. They didn't play many hits, which I didn't really know about until looking into it tonight. Six cover songs, which is an incredible thing to do. The band recorded the performance in one take, which was a very rare thing, and the band's playing unplugged gigs normally would have three or four cracks at most songs. So the show wasn't actually unplugged. Kurt played an acoustic guitar, but he had it fed through an amp with his usual effect pedals. But the amp was secretly hidden and pretended to be a speaker for the gig, which was pretty clever. But the reason they did that is because Kurt was incredibly nervous and he was struggling with drug withdrawal and anxiety at the time. But his troubled state probably contributed to the stunning performance. His voice breaks beautifully all the way through it. The songs are full of passion, stunning, sincere moments all the way through. Now, MTV had been chasing Nirvana to play an unplugged gig for a long time, but Kurt only agreed after loads of persuasion. So Dave Grohl said that Nirvana weren't really big fans of unplugged gigs. They wanted to do the whole thing very differently. They played songs specifically arranged for acoustic performances, and they treated the gig very differently to a normal Nirvana show. So the band, at the time, they really annoyed MTV producers by getting their pals along, Meat Puppets. So two of the boys from the band, Chris and Kirk, joined them, and they even played some Meat Puppet songs, which isn't really what MTV were looking for at the time. Dropped a lot of their hits, but Kurt also asked for the stage to be covered with black candles, a crystal chandelier, and lilies so it looked like a funeral. The set ended with a cover of that traditional American folk song, Where Did You Sleep Last Night? If you've never seen that, go and look it up. It's incredible. The performance is stunning. Many see it as the greatest moment in Kurt Cobain's career. MTV wanted the band to play an encore after it, but Kurt said that he couldn't top it. He couldn't better that performance. So the album was very well received, got lots of great reviews. Q Mag said that the band were most moving, possessed of a ragged glory. So let's have two songs from that classic album right now. MTV Unplugged in New York. I'm going to give you two songs. The Man Who Sold the World, a cover of a Bowie song, and then Come As You Are Unplugged. Enjoy.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I'm Gordon Smart and this is The Evening Show. Tonight's classic album, Nirvana, MTV Unplugged in New York from the 1st of November 1994, 24 years ago. You just heard Come As You Are, which was the second single from Nevermind and the only real hit Nirvana played at the gig that night. What a special, special song that was. Before that, I played The Man Who Sold the World, which was a David Bowie cover, of course. Kurt was a massive fan of the Bowie album of the same name, and that version of the song was used as the single from the MTV Unplugged album. Got loads of radio play at the time, so much so that people started to think Bowie's version was actually a Nirvana cover. Bowie had said as well that fans would often tell him it was cool that he was playing a Nirvana song in his sets, and Bowie was a fan though. He did say it was an honest, straightforward, heartfelt rendition. Brilliant stuff. Mark on Twitter says, unbelievable album. John Loughran agrees, said Nirvana MTV Unplugged is some album. Man Who Sold the World is probably one of the best covers ever. And Andy said, laid on my floor listening to Nirvana Unplugged. Perfect, couldn't agree more. The song you can hear in the background now, that's All Apologies. That was singled out for showcasing Nirvana's chemistry.
The whole album was released after Chris Novoselic and Dave Grohl decided they were too emotional to compile a longer double album of live Nirvana performances after Kurt had passed away. Pat Smear, who now plays with Dave Grohl in Foo Fighters, played guitar on most of the album. Nirvana were also joined by a cellist who had been touring with them called Laurie Goldston. So that was tonight's classic album chat. Loved every second of it. MTV Unplugged in New York with Nirvana.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Get on this. Damon Albarn is here to talk about Gorilla's sixth album. The band are now 17 years old.
It's not really. It's a seventh album, my view. It's of the full I consider an album. Unfortunately, my record label didn't consider it.
Right.
I don't know. Well, you know, I mean, okay, I didn't finish off the lyrics.
Because
I did every song in one day on tour.
Yeah. Now,
so that was the deal.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's seventh album then?
Well,
the no.
Sixth and a half.
Sixth and a half.
Sixth and a half album.
Great to see. I haven't seen you for a little while. So how are you doing? How's life?
I'm
all
right.
Good?
Yeah,
you look
fine,
well.
Fine, mate. Yeah, thank you.
I've got to wish you a happy birthday.
You know. Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations. You were the 5-4. Is that all right? Yeah. You comfortable with that? Yeah.
Now.
Right, okay.
Did I tell you last time where my birthday was going to be?
No, you didn't.
Well, for some bizarre reason, it ended up that my 50th birthday landed on the day I was in Bogota.
Wow, what a place to be.
Yeah, what a place
on your
to 50th be on
50th birthday.
Birthday.
Yeah. And this was coincidence, of course. Yeah,
it was actually coincidence, but it literally terrified me. So I thought, well, I'm definitely not going to have a party. Because, I mean, firstly, I'd kind of have to either hire a jumbo jet,
yes,
or just have rich people who I know come, which isn't either ideal.
No,
disrespect to rich people or jumbo jets, but it's just
you need some normal people there.
Well, I would have if I was going to have my 50th birthday, I wanted my family to be there and all my old friends,
of course,
and that wasn't possible there.
Yeah.
So, and also we were doing a gig the next day, and it was our first ever concert in Colombia, and I didn't really want to.
What great experience to remember! You want to have your wits about you.
Also because if people have been waiting that long to see you for one reason or another, you've got to
give them a great show.
You've got to put on a great show. So I was a bit worried about having the mother of all benders in Bogota. So we just went out for a drink then.
Oh, lovely!
And then yoga at high altitude.
Yeah.
It's all right for 50.
But Damon, right, this album, George Benson's on this album, right?
Yeah.
You're like you're a recruitment company for amazing musicians, right? I looked him up, 36 albums, right? 7 live albums, something like that. When you get a guy like that in the studio, you don't just want to sit and watch him do his finger picking and just
geek out. I haven't met him yet.
Oh, no.
No. I've spoken to him on the phone many times. And his last time I spoke to him, he promised me that when he's in London, he's going to meet up and have a cocktail.
Oh, amazing. Oh, yes. That's
which
class.
Is perfect.
Do you write the song and think, that's George Benson that's going to play that guitar part?
Well, I was hoping that he'd do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially for that track, it was sort of, it's almost like pop music. I don't know. I mean, I don't really think in those terms, but I just love George Benson, love the feeling of, I remember back, like, you know, when I was a teenager, hearing that in Essex and at the Andromeda nightclub, always stayed with me.
There aren't many collaborations this time for a Gorillaz album.
No, I just want to be more like Ed Sheeran. You see, so I'm sort of slowly getting rid of everybody.
Just make life easier.
Yeah, make life.
And then it'll just be you at Wembley.
Yeah, but I'm going to be Ed Sheeran. I'm going to change the S to a Z and sort of focus on the Far East market.
Do it. Do it. Shall we play a cheery single written and recorded with Mr. Damon Albarn? Because it is really upbeat, this new single, isn't it? It feels like it's perfect timing for it this time of year.
I don't know. I mean, I just made another record. If any of it works on the radio, that'd be
here we go.
Bloody marvellous.
Well, that's my interpretation of it, Damon. Okay. I think it's really uplifting. Very summary.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the brand new Gorillaz single, Humility, from the sixth or maybe seventh album, depending on what Damon says. His 17-year-old band, it's incredible.
I'd say it's 6 3/4, actually.
6 3/4.
Yeah, because if I'd have finished the lyrics, I think people would have accepted it. But I find lyrics a lot harder than writing music.
Do you really?
And I can't finish it all off on the same day. I have to deliberate a bit with that.
Right, yeah.
I sort of sing stuff out. I mean, with this record, it was interesting because we worked with James Ford.
Yes.
Who's brilliant.
Simeon Mobile Disco, James Ford. Yeah,
and Arch Shadow
Donkeys.
Puppets.
Shadow Puppets, all that.
But he's kind of one of those people that as soon as I met him, it's like, oh, I'm really happy I've met you. He's sense police. He likes everything to make sense.
Right.
Which was quite a task because, I mean, traditionally with Gorillaz, I haven't really finished anything off completely.
Right, yeah.
And I've let just the first time I've sung something stick, if it felt right. But he was like, can't you just make it make a little more sense? So if this record makes any more sense, it's entirely down to him and not me.
How do you have those conversations with you? Is he good enough to say, Damon, come on, we need to finish this?
Yes.
Is he assertive?
Well,
no,
he's not like that, but he'd just say, come on, mate.
Right.
Come on.
How do you respond to that?
You can do better than that.
How do you respond to that?
I'm
pretty
all right
well.
With it. Yeah, I need to be pushed, you know, because I'm happy to just remain quite abstract.
Right, yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily get you on radio, but is okay as well. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I made this record honestly because we've been very lucky to be offered all the festivals this year on the back of the last record, which is, if you're a musician, is literally that's the best news you can get, really. Because that's how you make your living and how you keep everything alive for you, you know, and all the people. And Gorillaz is big in that sense. It's got a lot of personnel.
Yeah, it's quite an operation.
Yeah, but I didn't want to do that unless I had something new to work with, really. Mm-hmm. So the only option was to make another record really quickly.
And this is it.
And not have lots of guests on it, because that takes a long time to sort of organise. So, and just do it all myself, really.
And it's all done in a month, pretty much, did you say, as well? In February.
Yeah.
I saw you around February, and you were, you know, I felt like you were right in the middle of something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You had a really good chat about it, and you felt, like, I got the sense anyway, that you were quite stoked up and inspired, and there was a lot to write about and talk about.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, but, yeah, I was actually referring to The Good, the Bad, and the Queen.
All right, yeah, sure.
Because I hadn't even thought about doing that then.
How do you switch between the two? How do you is it simple enough to do, or do they bleed into each other?
Well, I worked out yesterday that you can't do two things at once. I was always worried about doing two things at once, but I think the records justify it. You know, I don't think I'll try it again.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone would talk to me ever.
You can't ride two horses with one arse, Damon, is what I've been told by a famous Manchester musician.
Depends how big your arse is, isn't it?
No, listen, there is a story to this kind of album. So Murdoch's in jail, right? So you've had a little shift up of personnel as well. You've got a new bass player.
We needed to get a new bass player, so we got Ace from Powerpuff Girls. That has actually happened. The Powerpuff Girls have given permission for Ace to be joining Gorillaz, not necessarily on a permanent basis, but while Murdoch is in prison, we need a replacement.
How's that going, the old prison thing? Is it coping all right with clearing his name?
I'm not really that bothered. Do you know what I mean? I'm quite happy we've got a new, you know, someone from the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you also have Snoop on this album.
Now, Snoop,
he played with you at Glastonbury before, didn't he?
He's going to come and play with us again when we do Demon Days Festival.
Does that not just massively slow your productivity down, getting Snoop involved in anything? Right, okay. More from Damon Albarn in just a second on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I am joined by a band who seem to have been ever present throughout my entire time down in London since about 2004, 2005. Luke and Hugh from The Kooks are with me this evening. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, very well, man. Just like ghosts, you know, just following
just
you
always
around.
There. It's a funny thing, earlier on this afternoon I was kicking about through London and I saw two gentlemen who looked like rock stars drinking half pints of lager in the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
I looked
pints?
A bit closer.
Who are these guys? Half pints?
I thought rock and roll is dead.
No, actually, I think I had a lager top, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, I get in a lot of trouble for that.
Do you?
Yeah, if you order a lager top in a pub, people think, you know, yeah.
She's like an umbrella in that, sir. like a straw. I remember once being on tour, I met the Kings of Leon boys, did an interview with them, and Caleb Followell was, I was asking him about if he'd subscribe to the sort of stereotype of being a front man in rock and roll. And he went, nah, not me, not me. I'm from Nashville, blah, 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 blah. And then he clicked his fingers and asked for a pink champagne. I thought, yeah, right then. Wow. Do you think in the 14 years that your band has existed that you have changed at all? Heavy question to start.
Undoubtedly, yeah. I mean, I think we started out as, you know, we were confident, but we were fans of music. We didn't really expect, obviously, what happened, and we weren't really, especially at the beginning, we weren't really like hyped or anything. So it felt like, I think there were some moments where it just surprised us, I think, what happened. And so I think now we're probably a bit just, as a band anyway, just a bit more like comfortable with it. I think I don't know if I'm speaking for you, but I think like in the early days we were a bit like, it all took us by surprise. Yeah. And now we're a bit more comfortable in our own skins as a band.
It's funny, if you look back to 2006, it was a pretty special time for music, wasn't it?
It's an amazing time.
You know, all the bands that came through at the same time as you, it was a great time to be coming out of Brighton as well, you know, being a band.
Oh man, it was crazy. I mean, just the live music, just what was going on. Every bar had live music, and just so many what are now, it's amazing, isn't it? Like now heroes that were coming out at that time, you know. You know, Jack White, Amy Winehouse, there's all that, you know, there's so many you could mention, you know.
This year, a lot of the music we've talked about, a lot of the bands we've spoken to have had music that's been inspired by a fairly lively time in the world, right? So, you know, you had Editor's album, which was called Violence, and Combat Sports from Vaccines. But yours has got Sunshine in the title, the fifth album, and it's really optimistic and upbeat. Yeah. And was that a deliberate thing that you decided to do? Write music that was cheery?
Absolutely. It's who we are as a band anyway. I think when we go in, we're trying to make, like, uplifting music, and I think the world needs, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, I want to hear more of that. And I think that... we definitely went in with this album. So we started a record that was very much like a kind of beats driven cinematic kind of thing, and then we kind of just went what are we doing here, what are we trying to achieve? And we decided to go against the grain, which is we made a kind of guitar romantic record that's meant to be coming of age and falling in love and and upbeat and happy. And so there was definitely an instinctual kind of route to that kind of sound.
I think this record has definitely been about picking our strengths as musicians and as kind of people, really, because, like, I think what is such a common thing in bands is, you know, gaining a form of success and then sort of doing whatever it is you can in your power to kind of then kind of distance yourself from what that sound is and what that kind of idea
is. Right,
So it feels like with this record we're kind of, it's perhaps the record we probably should have made after our debut.
Just took us a bit longer. We've had benefits from other sides, the democratizing, like, streaming thing for us, like, has been really cool, where people have discovered our songs. And, you know, like, I've talked to, you know, like, my girlfriend's little sister, who thinks, like, you know, Naive's like a new song when I'm at, you know, it's funny. It's just a new
generation loving
thing.
It,
yeah. And that's been really cool.
Has there been a moment where you thought it wouldn't get this far? Have you always remained really good, firm friends? They look at each other. I was like, yeah, we have had a punch up or three.
He's
massive.
We've had. Should we get into it?
No. We've had our moments.
There's been a couple of friendly, kind of like cathartic fights, I think, that have had to happen.
All good relationships need them.
And you kind of move on, and you kind of you become closer from it.
So Let's Go Sunshine is coming in August. We've had two songs so far. We played No Pressure a couple of weeks ago, and I got a really, really lovely response. And earlier on, Luke and Hugh recorded an exclusive acoustic version just for us right here at Radio X.
Radio. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Just having such a good time.
There's a really lovely summery feel to that. The Kooks, No Pressure, live from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart, and this is The Evening Show, and I'm joined by The Kooks. I've got Hugh and Luke from the band right here.
Now, last year, gents, I remember you playing Wembley Arena, which is a brilliant moment in a band's career. Always love seeing bands playing there, because there is a huge smile on your face. I don't know whether it's more intimidating than a small gig, or it's one that you just embrace, because you get to say, hello, Wembley, at some point.
Yeah, they even write it in really big letters when you see it from the stage. Hello, Wembley. I mean, it's a staple. It doesn't matter about the size of the venue. Yeah. It's just when you're a kid. And we also supported Noel Gallagher there years ago, so it was nice to...
I was at that one.
Were you? Cool.
Yeah, nice. I remember seeing it in your eyes. Somebody once said to me, when you look at a gig that big from the stage, it looks like beans on toast. So you can actually just get on with it and think about the music. But the intimate ones where you can see the whites of people's eyes, that's the one that really sets the fear in. But never mind those gigs, right, the big ones. I want to know about your worst gig. Offer some inspiration to struggling bands coming through now who are having stinkers at the moment.
I have one which is, it kind of sounds like at first the best gig in the world.
Right.
It was in Ibiza, and it was the first group of bands that Manumission had, I think, booked for a rock concert. And it was Faithless, and then it was the Future Heads.
Weirdly, I think I might have been at this gig as well.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. So it started off really good. I think I was about 16. We were on 4 in the morning and playing like in between strippers on podiums. So yeah, great. I was like, cool. But then I think like my amp broke. It blew up. Smoke. And then the replacement amp, we had to stop. And then the replacement amp, that just fused.
Right.
Blew up as well. And then Pete's bass amp blew up also.
Yeah. So it was like, Luke a cappella in Manumission with some strippers.
For a lot of the set.
Yeah. He caused the world.
Yeah, it was fun.
Fantastic. Yeah. You don't want to be on the... Yeah.
But also, like, it was kind of quite stressful because we'd had... Like, we were on at 4 a.m. And we were hanging out in a club for about 2 or 3 hours. So you're not exactly... yourself by the time you get on stage.
The healthiest moment of a 16-year-old's life.
So I think for us, it was probably not the worst gig in the world, but I think as an audience member,
not the best you'll ever see the Kooks. That's great inspiration for bands that are up and coming. Thank you very much for the Kooks. Are you all right to stick around a little bit longer?
Yeah, of course.
More from Luke and Hugh in just a second.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, just a little bit earlier, I played our classic album for you, Nirvana's Unplugged album from New York back in 1994. There's a bit of a Dave Grohl news kicking about today that I thought I'd share with you on that note. Now, he's a very popular man, probably one of the nicest blokes I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, one of the best musicians. Doesn't make him a politician, though. Pleased to say, after Kanye West chucked his hat in the ring, that Dave Grohl has ruled out challenging Donald Trump's presidency in 2020. That's a relief, isn't it? The Foo Fighters frontman's had a pop at him a few times, old Trumpy boy, but has insisted he won't be doing an Oprah. Foo's drummer Taylor Hawkins had asked him if he'd consider running. He said, you need to be president and run for office. But Dave Grohl says, F that, and that is my quote right there. Apologies for there any delicate ears listening. That's as sensible as I can do on a Monday night. I'm not doing an Oprah. I'm not going to go well. You never know, or even lead anybody up the garden path, which is a massive relief. There are plenty of politicians out there to do the job. Don't spoil it, Dave. Don't get involved.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Gorillaz have got their 6¾ album out. It's exciting times. It's called The Now Now. So Mickey Flanagan's
now,
got...
The Now
the
Now.
The Now Now. Like Mickey Flanagan has going out, and you've got The Now Now.
Now Now. Yeah. Just sort of it's as now as you can possibly get.
It's right now.
Right now.
James Ford. You work with James Ford, right? Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. He did the Arctic Monkeys new album.
Yeah.
What do you make of it? I mean...
I listened to bits of it, but I think it's very interesting.
Fantastic, yeah. Because did you hear any of it when
he
was working on it?
I think he's a very talented chap, that...
Alex Turner,
yeah. It annoys me to say that. I don't like paying compliments to anyone, but it has to be said.
There you go.
What I mean? Has to be.
And well said. So James Ford, right? He was in Simeon Mobile Disco, and he's joined Gorillaz. There's no sort of monkey conspiracy going on here. This just seems like
that's accidental. But that's now you pointed it out, it's. Yeah,
perfect.
Perfect. It's perfect.
So he feels like he's been a really good influence on you in this album.
He's fantastic. I'd love to work with him again.
Yeah. Would you do something else with him, or is
yeah,
it going to
be definitely?
Yeah. We'll look out for that then.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's brilliant. He's all round excellent.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Damon, I've seen you playing all over the world in different places, right?
Right.
I've seen some incredible gigs, absolutely amazing moments. But could you just give some inspiration to bands who might be struggling a little bit by just giving them an idea of one that's gone horribly wrong for you?
Well, most of my worst gigs have involved alcohol.
Right.
I mean, where do I start with those?
Yeah.
The last really, truly epic one was in Madrid.
Right.
It was that period when Graham wasn't in the band, and we went on tour, and I think that was a really difficult time. I think I didn't realise that I was over-medicating before gigs, yeah, but yeah. I clearly was. Yeah. It was a combination of Red Bull and vodka, wow, like multiple ones before I went, and then all the way during the gig. So it was all right to the point, you know, of get feeling right to go on stage, but yeah, then it just
deteriorated.
Yeah. Anyway, I had this necklace that my mum had made me, the bead necklace. Mm-hmm. So it was a very precious thing. And at some point I was like there in the audience and someone just ripped it off. And I was very upset, but because I was so drunk, I forgot that it was kind of a gig and that, you know, I was supposed to carry on. So I just stopped and I said I wasn't going to come back on stage until they picked up every bead. And it's a pack, right, like, right, in the dark. Right. It's like, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Did and they then have a I got at convinced it? To go back on stage like about half an hour later, but yeah. I was so drunk and it was miserable, yeah, and I looked like an idiot. And unfortunately, that was recorded on an early sort of phone camera. So it's on the internet. Now, the one that I'm really grateful was pre the internet was when we were on the roller coaster tour. And one night, I don't know why I did it, but in the middle of one of Graham's guitar solos, I decided to take my trousers down and my pants down. And I was like, just basically kind of sort of naked from the waist down. And then I suddenly realised what a stupid thing that was to do. An embarrassment that I've never felt, I'd never felt before or since, kind of,
wow,
engulfed me. and I had to like sort of feign kind of collapsing on the floor, right, and like being in a sort of fake spasm,
yeah,
while I tried to pull my trousers back up and pull my back up to get... Now, just imagine
wow,
if anyone had, wow, taken film of that.
I'm quite taken aback by it.
As a meme. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like Damon Albarn's digital tattoo.
I swear.
Oh, man. Thanks for sharing that, yeah, Damon. It's really appreciated.
Yeah. So both alcohol-related,
yeah. Damon, one last question I have to ask you. I was told, and I can't remember where I was told this, that Prince really wanted to record with you, and it never happened because I was told that he didn't want people smoking in his studio.
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
And is that true?
Yeah, I'd done a gig in Minneapolis,
yeah,
and I was invited to go and play with Prince, yeah, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I was having a drink and a fag. I don't actually smoke anymore, so I've knocked that one on the head.
Good effort.
I was just like, if you can't be who you're, I would never. If I invite someone to my studio, I'm never like, if I've invited someone, they're my guest, and it's, yeah, like there aren't any conditions like that. And anyway, it's like I could go and have a cigarette outside, yeah, if I needed to have it.
Be yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you not? You can't do that. And like, so I'd rather not do it and not get, you know.
It's,
yeah,
one of those.
It could have been. I mean, I've got a few of those.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's for maybe for another time. But yeah, I'd love to hear it.
How my life could have gone.
Sliding doors.
Sliding doors, exactly.
Be incredible. Damon, it's great to see you.
Really nice to see you. Thanks so much for that.
Damon Albarn on Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's been a great evening tonight having a blather with the Cooks. They've been around for 14 years. I just feel like I've watched you grow up. But you were 16, the first time I saw you, I think.
Yeah, probably, man. Yeah.
Gents, you're on album number 5. You've just recorded a session for us. Enjoy it.
It's great.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
See, amazing. When you play a song like Naive, do you play with it a lot, or do you just say, right, let's stick to route one?
Do you know what? We actually talked about it before, and, you know, this is where preparation comes. I was like, we should do this on roads.
Like Fender Rhodes, but then we didn't have one. So we kept it. I did a slightly low kind of Alex Turner style vocal for the first.
Yes.
You know.
Experimental. So now I want to ask you a really lowbrow question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Help me with a book. I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon, right? It started off with me in the bathroom and Sean Connery turned up next to me, a hero of mine, and I thought I'd make some conversation with him.
Yep.
He looked to me and said, "No, it's not really the time, is it, son?" I thought, that'll do. Do you have an entry for Slash Gordon, gentlemen?
Yeah. So awkward.
Come on then. Come on then. What have you all looked you?
So it was the Brit Awards, maybe 2006.
Oh, going way back.
Taking it back. And there was an after party that Liam Gallagher, I think, hosted at Cuckoo. That we were invited
to.
It was an Oasis
party at Cuckoo. And we went to that, but I don't. Yeah. We were nominated for the Brits, but I don't think we went to the awards. But we went to the after party.
Yeah, classic.
Because that's a kind of
I remember we were both in the gents, weren't we?
Yeah,
I do remember that. It was the most bizarre thing. Well, Kelly from Stereophonics.
He turned up, yeah, and I don't think he was invited.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know what really was going on.
I just saw Liam Gallagher kind of shouting at Kelly, saying, you can't be here. What do you think you're doing here? And I think he got kicked out of the loo and the club.
Oof.
No, but I remember because I swear Steven Tyler came out of the cubicle
at the same time.
Yeah,
in the same.
It was quite a big, gents, and then he was trying to mediate, and he was like proper, like done, like in like cool as you like, you know, Steven Tyler, like with the full.
Yeah,
and he's like, "No, guys, come on! Like, you know, we're all friends here. We're all playing music."
That's outstanding. Aerosmith.
That was quite awkward, wasn't it?
Yeah, mediating an awkward moment.
Super awkward, man.
Now, lads, while you're here, I'm going to give you a Chinese banana monkey, Rob, and see if I can find out any details about festivals this summer. Because at the moment, I don't know any of your dates. Can you give us a little tease or any kind of hint to something special this summer when we can see you?
Ooh. Well, we are doing quite a few. Outside the UK, we're doing like Benicassim.
Oh, amazing.
And Zeget Festival.
Yep.
Zeget, the lineup is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I wish we could go out for a week. But UK, really, we're only doing Reading and Leeds.
Brilliant.
And that, I don't know if that's out yet that we're doing that. But
fantastic.
Yeah,
of all the ones to do, yeah, it's superb, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy memories of the festivals as well. I mean, I always think of the Kooks as a great festival band.
And I had a really funny one actually at Reading. I think it was Leeds the first time we ever played it, and we did that classic thing of like where we did the tent and we just had like Naive come out or something, and so we had a big audience, and I went into the crowd and fell in, and then the guy didn't believe me that I was the singer, so I was like trying to get back up. It's totally true. I was trying to, and I swear to God I had to like go all the way out the venue.
No.
Yeah, and all the way back in, around the back.
Didn't you still have the mic as well? And you were like, dude. Yeah.
He's like, you just, look, hello.
Oh, lads, it's great to see you, and it's brilliant to have you back. Let's Go Sunshine, right? That's the album
Let's
title.
Let's Go Sunshine.
Have I got the intonation and the pace of that right? Is it Let's Go Sunshine as in Cockney?
It's like Cockney.
What, sunshine?
Yeah.
Oh, right, or is it?
It's a double meaning.
Ah, right, it's deliberate. Double voice.
A dupla meaning.
Let's Go Sunshine.
Let's Go Sunshine.
Yeah.
I love it. That's how it's said. Well, listen, boys, it's great to have you back.
Thank
Cook's
so
two
much.
Songs were already played, No Pressure. Everyone loves it. And it's going to be a busy summer for you by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thanks so much for listening to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. All right, Vin.
Bye-bye.
We will be back with another edition next week, so please download again, leave a review, and tell all your pals. It would be very much appreciated. Radio X.